Fighting continues in Ukraine, where the Russian invasion shows no signs of letting up. Joining me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the key global stories in the coming days is the BBC's Pete Ross. And Pete, what's the latest you can tell us about Russia's war in Ukraine?
I think what we can say is, let's put it into two categories, Mark. The overriding impression coming out of Ukraine this morning or this afternoon, in military terms, seems to be one of stalemate. Russia has not made any more significant gains over the weekend, but it is continuing to bombard indiscriminately at civilian targets, cities across the country, with the loss of innocent life. I think, therefore, in humanitarian terms, it's fair to say it's a disaster there right now. One example of indiscriminate shelling that we learned about over the weekend was an art school was bombed in the southern city of Mariupol, where hundreds of people had taken shelter. Officials there say the building's been destroyed and that people could still be trapped inside. We've got no further confirmation of that yet. Staying there in Mariupol, that seems to be where the Russian offensive is now focusing. Overnight, Sunday into Monday morning, they gave the Ukrainian army and the Ukrainians hiding within the city, sheltering in the city, they gave them an ultimatum. They said they'd open up some humanitarian corridors to allow them safe passage out. And the Russians put one stipulation in, which was that the Ukrainians must lay down their arms. And I think we realized, you know, what we know about Ukrainian resistance at the moment, we realized they were never going to accept those terms. So that deadline passed a few hours ago, and the shelling has continued. You know, so definitely a humanitarian crisis unfolding there at the moment.
And Pete, as that fighting, as the shelling continues, peace talks between Russia and Ukraine have been taking place in Turkey. Is there any progress with those?
I think it really depends who you talk to. And let's have a little bit of context here. There are a few neutral actors at the moment. Israel's taken a bit of a neutral stance, and it's been trying to broker a peace deal. Turkey's been trying to broker a peace deal. There are a lot of people keen to see a peace deal struck. And I think if you are one of those people trying to bring both the Russians and Ukrainians together, you might be more willing to paint that in a positive picture, because you want to be the person, or you want to be the country that can say, look, I brought Russia and Ukraine together and helped to achieve peace. So a grain of salt. However, peace talks did take place in Turkey over the weekend, high-level officials. We heard some good things about that. What we have heard this morning or this afternoon, we'd heard that perhaps President Putin had agreed to meeting President Zelensky of Ukraine face-to-face. Now, no official confirmation of that, though the Kremlin has at least acknowledged that that's being discussed, because they've said more progress is needed before both those men can hold direct talk. But perhaps that might be something we'll see in the future.
Interesting. All right, Pete, let's move from Russia and Ukraine to Afghanistan now. And authorities in that country have said they're hoping to reopen all girls' schools this week. They've, of course, been closed since the Taliban takeover last year. What's the significance there?
Yeah, I mean, I think if we all think back to the last time the Taliban were in power 20 years ago, they imposed some pretty harsh measures, particularly on women. They were banned from all forms of education, work, and most public life. So when the Taliban seized power, when the US and allies withdrew last year, they promised a softer regime, if that's the right way to put it. And so all eyes have been, you know, on the Taliban and their actions since then. Now, back in January, a senior Taliban spokesperson said in an interview that the authorities were hoping to be able to reopen all girls' schools across the country after Afghanistan's New Year. Well, that's today, and those schools remain closed. However, we've heard from the BBC's Afghanistan correspondent and other sources, Sukunda Kamani, that this has now been pushed back 2 days until March 23rd, this Wednesday. Now, again, as I say, given the Taliban's past, this announcement has been greeted with some skepticism, but, you know, we're going to keep an eye out or keep an open mind and see what happens on Wednesday.
And Pete, as you referenced, the Taliban made a lot of promises when they seized power. What is life like there now?
I think it's fair to say life is very difficult indeed for most Afghans, Mark. According to the United Nations last week, they published figures 95% of the population don't have enough food to eat. And life for women there is still very restrictive. We talked about the big challenges of girls trying to go to school and whether the government might open up schools for girls on Wednesday. Well, they issued a directive last month saying that any women seeking to travel long distances would not be allowed to do so unless they were accompanied by, in their words, a close male relative. Now, think about Afghanistan. It's a rural country, isn't it? Most people have to travel a long distance to get to where they want to get to, and that includes going to school. So I think if women have to, or girls have to travel with a close male relative to go to school, that might limit the number of girls that are able to go to school.
Right. All right, Pete. Finally, let's talk about an environmental story. On Saturday, people will be turning off their lights around the world between 8:30 and 9:30 p.m. to mark Earth Hour. This is an initiative that the World Wildlife Federation environmental group encourages people to go dark for an hour to raise awareness about climate change. What can you tell us about this year's effort?
Yeah, that's exactly it, Mark. I mean, this event's been running since 2007, and I don't know about you, but I'd kind of forgotten about it a little bit. It's that time of the year between, as you say, 8:30 and 9:30, where around the world, people turn off the lights, and it's usually marked by some of the big landmarks around the world, like, say, the Eiffel Tower in Paris or the Sydney Harbour Bridge, turning off their lights. And it's supposed to sort of make us focus the mind and attention on the climate emergency that we're experiencing at the moment. And I think it's probably a pretty good time for it to happen because, you know, in the last couple of years, I mean, I think COVID has really dominated the headlines, hasn't it? And environmental campaigners would say, look, as big as that story is, as big as the war in Ukraine is, as big as other issues are, there really is only one story in town, and that's the environment. And we've only got one chance to save it. So, you know, something that I think we all, you know, remembered happening years ago and had perhaps forgotten about, well, it's back this Saturday. Turn out the lights, you know, or look to see, you know, big monuments around the world, turning the lights off and just reminding us that there is a climate emergency out there.
All right, we'll have to leave it there. That is the BBC's Pete Ross. Pete, as always, good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mark.